Hello and welcome to the Couche podcast. I'm Aaron Dugan, your host. I'm joined today by the ambassadors of the CISS, Graham Brown, Colin Scott and Innes Ritchie. We're hoping for Craig Tory Winters to arrive at some point, but he's still a bit of a no-show. And we've got Gordon Anderson, part of the steering group for the CISS. Thanks for joining me, guys.
No bother.
My pleasure.
Well, we'll just dive in. Also, we've got a couple of honourable mentions that Neil Irvine couldn't make it. The honorary president, Dickie Bailey, also had to drop out at the last minute, and still waiting on Craig Winter coming. But Colin, we'll just start with yourself. If you've been the oldest in the group so far.
That's fine. Yeah. All right, listen. I first started my career back in 1982 when I signed full time at Hearts, and I was there for 6 seasons. Making my first team debut on my 17th birthday. I never worked out with a couple of really bad injuries, broke my back and a couple of bad knee operations. And I then went part-time at East 21, 22 and I signed for East 5. And to be honest with you, I enjoyed the guys and everything, but I just never took to the club, I've got to be honest. And I don't think the supporters took to me either. And John Brownlee, the manager at Kenbeath at the time, was building a squad, and he was on the lookout for a left midfield player. And it came to his attention that I was looking to get a move. And I only found this out a couple of months ago when I started speaking to him that he'd never seen me play. And it was actually assistant manager Gordon Miller who said there's a guy at Kenbeath, at East Fife wanting to get a move in his left mid. And the first thing he said is, who did he used to play for? And what age is he? He says, well, he's about 23 and he played with Hearts. He says, that'll do for me. So I met him at the Barton Hotel and we just hit it off. He was fantastic. And you could see his vision for Cowdenbeath. He knew exactly what he wanted. And there was no mess. He was the boss. Trust me, he was the boss. And he had a vision of exactly how he wanted to play. And he just told me all these things. And I was really quite excited about it. And throughout the next forthcoming years, we did so well. And I think we missed out on promotion in 91. I think we missed it by a point, actually. And the following year was when we went up to a covenant of the championship nowadays. And I had the most fantastic 5 years there. Thoroughly enjoyed myself.
Well, just obviously, I think part of the idea with with getting you in as ambassadors is because of the success he's had with your time at Cowdenbeath. How was it that you got asked to be part of the group?
It was through Neil Irvine. I think he'd been speaking to the CISS, and he put my name forward, and I was more than happy, to get involved in it. It'd be nice to see even small parts that I can do just to try and push Cowdenbeath as a club forward. And I firmly believe that we should be back in the SPL. I mean, it's a club that should be there. And I know that it's kind of tough just now, but fingers crossed, with just all the guys like Innes and Graham, etc., and Dickie and Neil, just to be part of it and turn up every so often, see some of the supporters, and maybe just push it forward a little bit.
Well, we'll move on to yourself here, Graham, and started your career at the club in the late 90s. Had a tremendous scoring record with the club, and then obviously promoted with Craig Winter back in 2000 and 2001. How is it you found your time at Cowdenbeath?
I absolutely loved my time at Cowdenbeath. You'll maybe know I'm originally from the borders, quite far away from Cowdenbeath, and I'd reached a stage where my boys' club football was coming to an end and I didn't really know what I was going to do with football, and I had my education in the background to think about as well. I was all set actually on giving up, going to university and going and signing full-time at Dundee when the youth team kind of duo of Tam Milne and Gary Kirk, actually were both running the youth team at the time, they made contact. And at that time, Cowdenbeath's under-18s, there was one sort of professional youth league, if you like, and it was Rangers, Celtic, Aberdeen, Hearts, and Cowdenbeath were in that league as well. And that was the attraction that was going to take me to Dundee. And so I thought, you know, it's much better I can go to university, be part-time at Cowdenbeath and continue that way. And I think I maybe played two, possibly three under-18 games with Cowdenbeath, because I was fortunate enough at the time. Sammy Conn was the first team manager, and he, after a couple of games, put me straight into the first team. it was hard times when I first started at Cowdenbeath in terms of the first team success. I think we had two seasons where we were very close to being bottom of the league. God bless East Stirling for pipping us to that spot 2 years now. But then Sammy Conn eventually parted ways with Sammy, and Craig Levein came in for his first job in football. And it was a great time. And he had a, similar to what Colin said about John Brennan, he had a great vision for the club as well in terms of how we were going to turn things completely around and see a bit of success. And it was a kind of combination of youth young players, myself, Craig Winter at the time, although he's never seemed like he's a young player, and he was, brought in Mark Bradley. And then he also brought in some really good old heads as well to steer the ship. Big Jock Martin in goals, Alan Lawrence, Jimmy Boyle as well. And that combination made a big difference. And then within about two seasons of Craig Levein being there, all of a sudden we were sitting up there on the top of the league with Brechin and Hamilton. And of course, halfway through that season, when we were thinking, this is great, we're going to get promoted, Craig Levein went off to get another job. and of course, every success to him. But at that stage, and I won't mention at that point what happened with Peter Cormack for 8 days in the middle of that season, but Gary Kirk then came in, took over, and that was a fantastic time. And it's my best memory of football in any game I've played in was the breaking game at Central Park at the end of that season. It seemed as if the entire population of Cowdenbeath came along. Which was great. I'd always watched with jealousy at games, and I don't know if Colin and this, if you experienced this, you would go to the play on a Saturday and we would maybe have a few hundred there at the game, the usual, the regulars, and it was still a good crowd, and you would be proud to play for Cowdenbeath in front of everybody that turned up, and then everybody would come out and the stock cars would then come in and thousands would come through the gate. And I'd go, where are these people coming from? And that was the only time, that and maybe a couple of Raith Rovers games, which always had a bit of interest, that I played at Central Park when it was full, and it was brilliant. It was a really, really good day. Won the game on the day as well. It was a shame we didn't manage to win the title that day, but promotion was good enough. I then went on to have a really good season the following year in the second division, even though we managed to avoid relegation with a few games to go. And then Keith Wright came in, Mickey Weir came in. I then eventually moved on to Ayr for a short period, on to Alloa. Yeah. And then I'll finish on this, because I kind of came towards the end of my time at Alloa, realising that my love for football had kind of dwindled a little bit. I was 28, and I had a really honest conversation with the Alloa manager at the time, Alan Maitland, where I'd said, you know, I'm on the football pitch on a Saturday now. I'm thinking about work. I'm thinking about kids. I'll be able to give it the focus. I don't think that's fair on you. So I'll maybe just leave it. And so we agreed that I would leave Alloa. And I fully planned on giving up football at that point. And then Danny Lennon got in contact, and he wouldn't leave me alone for a long time. He was like, no, you're coming in. And then re-signed me halfway through that season. And I was delighted to come back, and I couldn't not come back. I think if any other manager of any other team had said, come along and play for, a 2.5 year contract, and they said, no, listen, I'm finished. But I wanted desperately to come back, and it was a successful time for Cowdenbeath. Not me personally. I think Danny realised what was happening with me after a wee while, and I lasted 6 months. But the team was doing really well, and at that point went on to back-to-back promotions. And since then, the end of that season, which was 2008-2009, that was me finished football, really, in terms of playing. But I've always followed Cowdenbeath. I've always been back to Cowdenbeath whenever there's a big game on. In the job that I do in the legal profession, I see a lot of your chairman, Donald Finlay, and I annoy him. He's busy trying to work on a speech for a client in the case, and I'm saying, no, listen, tell me how the game was on Saturday. Tell me this, tell me that. Thank you. I've been in a case with him for the last 50 days, and I think he's fed up with me asking about Cowdenbeath.
He'd been fed up with you on Saturday. He was getting a bit miffed after the second East Kilbride goal, and the turned out to be the winner. And that says he had slapped his gloves on his leg. And that says, but Graham, how is it that you found yourself being asked to become an ambassador?
Well, it was probably through the power of social media. Since I finished football, And I left because I wanted to focus on family and my job, etc. I've done that, and I've not really been in close contact with many guys that I've been playing with down the years, etc. And I've been going ahead and doing that. But then Gordon reached out to me, but I'm obviously on Facebook, etc., and managed to send me a message. And then I thought, that's a brilliant idea. Because it's, you know, when Cowdenbeath were relegated out of the league set up, out of the pyramid structure, it was, it was a real worry at the time, because you see, you know, other teams, Albion Rovers, etc., Berwick, and you see where they are performing in the lower league, and you worry, are Cowdenbeath going to get back to that level? And it does, it requires, I think, a big effort, not just from players on the park and managers picking teams, etc., but everybody, a community, to garner a bit of interest back in the club again, remind everybody of the glory days that Colin's experienced, I've experienced, Innes has experienced, you know, because it's fantastic. Those games and the memories are, for me and my family, who, and my father especially, who came to almost every single game that I played. Despite, you know, living in Gala Shields at the time and travelling a long way, want to get back to that stage again, get back into the league structure so Cowdenbeath can be a force that they once were and that they should be.
Thank you very much. Innes, I think this is it, because it was really the team that you were part of was around the time that I got into the football. So I've been excited for this one for a long time. And that's his apologies to Colin and Graham. You're just
you're forgiven.
A bit young at the time for me, like, but Innes, I think it might be one of my fondest memories, Ken, going to Cowdenbeath, and that's his. Always mind my dad took me to a win. It was a 5-1 against East Stirlingshire. I went back to my dad's house in Legale, and he says, "How was it, son?" I says, "I can see why they're called the Blue Brazil, because that was amazing." And he says, "It's not like that all the time." And how right he was, but what a fantastic time to be part of the club.
Yeah, great team actually at that time as well. It's interesting, it's interesting sitting listening to the guys, because I had very similar journeys, really similar to Collins. And then, of course, I can totally empathise with what Bruni said as well. I joined Cowdenbeath at a time where Keith Wright had been pestering me for a long time. I was a bit like Bruni, had been at Arbroath for a couple of seasons, done really well in the first division, and was a bit disillusioned with football, to be honest with you. And of course, work was getting more important. I was becoming more senior in my job. And for me at that time, I was very similar to what Bruni said, thinking about family, thinking about work, thinking about progression. And to be honest with you, I went to the same gym as Keith Wright, and Keith kept on asking me all the time, just come along, we need somebody in the centre of the defence, a wee bit of experience, because they had a really young team and quite an aspirant team. And then after about, I don't know how many weeks it was, I eventually said, look, I'll come along for a few games and see how I like it. Because I was the same thing, I had set my mind on just giving up and 100% focusing on work. But I'm glad that Keith persisted, because I have to say he was right. There was a bunch of young guys, you know, think about Darren McGregor, Gary Fusco, Liam Buchanan. Bruni was still there, actually. He was still firing, as was Toure and some of the more older heads. But I think they just need a wee bit of experience at the back. So I loved the chance to come along and be that senior player, you know, to be able to coach the guys, lead them, and hopefully bring in some good behaviours, which I think I've done as well. But it was a great time. And then it was easy for me to stay. Work was still busy, but it was easy for me to stay, because when you came on a Tuesday and Thursday and a Saturday, you really enjoyed it. Training was good. It was always a good tempo. Keith and Mickey, I quite liked. Mickey Beer was hilarious. He was very old school and very demanding in the way that he'd done things, but I loved that. And it was what I had been used to growing up, you know, coming through the ranks. So I enjoyed it. And then I was lucky enough to stay for a wee while, become captain. And then, I had some good managers when I was there as well. I enjoyed working under Dave Bakey as well. And I think for that championship winning team as well, it probably goes a wee bit under the radar that a lot of the people that were in that team were actually Dave Bakey's players. You think of John Ward, Davey Hay, a few of the other guys he signed before he left. And then, of course, when Mixu came in, he just put the icing on the cake and signed a few superstars. Just happened that most of them were his brothers, and that helped quite a bit. But it was fantastic. And I must admit, I loved it. You know, I was looking back at a few things over the last couple of months after I've been asked to do this, and it's amazing memories. I was at Central Park a couple of weeks ago. I've been at a few away games. Quite a lot of the games just now are round about where I stay, so I go and support as much as I can. But it was nice to go back to Central Park a couple of weeks ago. My son was mascot at the game as well, So they put him on, and Alexander was delighted to be on the pitch with the blue Brazil strip on. It was quite nice.
See, I did see you coming. I was up having a tin of beer. I was wondering why Ed Carroll's never asked me for a photo shoot around the stadium, but says I'll ask him about that later on when I see him.
I think Gordon was going to charge people for pictures. I think that's what it was.
How's it you found yourself to becoming an ambassador then, Innes?
Don't know. You see the picture in the background here?
Oh yeah,
it was my big birthday last year, so my sister and my mum got me a couple of wee bits, but they wanted to get something that sort of, spoken about my football career, and probably one of the biggest achievements was winning the league in 2006. So my sister, it's funny, my sister had been talking to the club, and she had ordered this print for me for my birthday, and I think she had gotten to away. I think maybe Gordon and definitely Alex Haddo had been speaking to her quite a bit. And then randomly, I think I got a message. It was meant for Mixu on Christmas Eve. And then before that, I was getting in contact with the guys and asking if I'd be an ambassador. But, I had loads of fond memories there, so I'm really happy to support. I'd done a few wee bits after I left Cowdenbeath, supporting the website and stuff like that, but I'd probably fell out of touch. I'd came along to a few games after a few years, but you fall out of touch when there's nobody you know, or your connection becomes less and less. But I was delighted to come back, and I enjoy going to watch. And actually, I think being there with a purpose when I was there a few weeks ago, to talk about the CISS, it was nice to be there as being part of the club again as such.
It must have been a bit of a shock to obviously be part of a team that won the first championship in 67 years, and then to come with your son to Central Park and see us on and possibly the worst day of the season when we were demolished by East Kilbride.
The thing is, we've been at a couple of games, so he's seen a few wins as well, which is nice. But I think it was probably a bad game to go to because there was a few players missing. I think East Kilbride are a bit like the Harlem Globetrotters as well, so they're probably going to win the league. You can see that they're going to run away with it. But I think we'll come back again, and he'll have more opportunities to come along and hopefully see some victories in the weeks to come.
And Gordon, hello to yourself, obviously part of the steering group. How is it you found yourself to be part of the first kind of front runners of the CISS?
I think, as you know, Anne, I come in Central Park on a Saturday with the club shop, so I've got a part to play currently on a voluntary basis. So when we went along to that initial meeting, I did volunteer at that point to say I would help in any way. I think, like lots of supporters at the club, that all of the people that run the club are supporters of Cowdenbeath. So it went obviously around the fact that I would accept any offer to try and support where we need to go currently moving forward. So I was approached by that point. David Allen asked me if I would come on board with a group of three or four others just to start the ball rolling until we get a proper group in place to then drive forward CISS further for our supporters.
That's it. Is there any plans to try and approach kind of more ex-players to come on board as ambassadors?
Yeah, definitely. Been in touch with a few. There's unfortunately guys like Joe Mabu, really busy at the moment, so he would have been delighted to be part of this. Unavailable at this current time. Matt Ramsey, again, busy through work. Matt Bradley, the guys that we've asked along as well. We've reached out to Mixu, Pat Lynan and Marcus to see if they would come on board. Just wait to hear back from them. Remy Allen is going in for an operation company, so these guys are all keen to be part of this. In fact, I think we need a goalkeeper to finish off our five-a-side team, so I think Remy would have been absolutely perfect for that type of role. So yeah, we are going to continually look at bringing people in. We did get in touch through the club, try and get in touch with Greg Stewart. Obviously, he's very busy at the now, coming back from India, and he's further in his playing career at this time. And that is obviously a little bit of a situation as well. A lot of the guys from the most recent success are still playing. Guys like Kane Hemmings other players around that era, around that time, are still playing at this moment in time, John Robertson. So hopefully, over time, when their playing careers come to an end, we could look at getting some of the fresh younger, so no offence, guys, but some fresh younger blood into the CIS as well. I think you're on mute, Adam.
Is that me there? Can you hear me?
That's you.
Aye, perfect. No, says this. Oh, I say this thing, like, eh? No, says this. See that they say that technology is the future, eh? Kind of give us a to move on there and that. Would for any listeners that haven't signed up to the CISS or surely they're aware of what it is, but can you just give us a little refresher of what the CISS is hoping to achieve?
Yeah, I think the biggest part around that was we're trying to look at providing a bigger voice through our supporters. Obviously, the ultimate aim is to gain 20% of the club and the shares, which would then allow us to try and move forward and look at fan ownership eventually, which would be something that's obviously our biggest aim through the club. When we had an initial meeting, there was 98 people who said they were going to sign up and become members. We have currently 60 members, so we are short of the number of the people who said they would sign up. So I think that's sort of a big plea out to the supporters who came forward and said they would join up, and we were looking for that to move forward. And that was a big part about getting Neil Irvine involved as honorary president at that time, to see if, you know, somebody with fresh ideas, somebody who's played for the club and getting his ideas in. And it was, to be totally fair, Neil is the person who has pushed forward and driven forward the initiative around getting these ambassadors on board. Neil keeps going on about building momentum and that sort of sustainability. So hopefully with these guys in place, we're showing that it's not just a quick fix. It's more about what we're going to continue doing moving forward. So to get people in, we're offering reward schemes. So yeah, people, but we are requesting money from our supporters, and we're always asking, it feels like, for money through things like the 100 Club and Club 135 and things that we've done. But through this, it is about that sort of collectiveness now, and that sort of reward scheme that we get for it is every single pound people put in, they will be trying to give things back in return. And I know that's not the aim of this, but it will be good to get people into categories, moving through different schemes from like your single men club right through to our main club, our sort of platinum club, when enough points going to join our ambassadors club. And that is the guys in the room who are already members of the ambassador club, and we're hoping supporters would look to try and get their names beside some of these legends who have joined us today. And so yeah, that we're just hoping now, and going back to that again, Neil's word about let's build momentum now and let's push this forward. And very much, it was touched on before, it's not just about the guys on the players on the park and the managers. It is very much around collectively what can we do to drive forward, build some momentum, sustainability for the club, and get us back to the SPFL again, because obviously that our big aim is a part of for CISS as well.
You said that also the uptake hasn't been the same kind of momentum as what we had hoped for at the start of it all. Do you think that now as we get the ground running with also the social media accounts now have been opened up, we've got our own bank account now, there's Ross Cameron's doing the finishing touches on the website, which will make it a lot easier for people to be able to sign up and control it that way. Do you feel that now that once that's in place, that will just help the ball get rolling a bit more?
Definitely. Ross has done quite a bit of work behind the scene. You can imagine trying to set this website up. It was painstaking to try and get a bank account. It was like months upon end, so that was holding things back. Obviously, our biggest concern is now we're needing our members to move from the current payments that they're making into this new bank account, so hopefully that runs smoothly and people just transfer to that. But you're right, Aaron, it's very much click on a link now, set up through Go Cardless, and hopefully having it on a website now and across social media will encourage more supporters to click on the link very much and sign up and become members, which very much helps the team on the park, because as talked about that meeting, every penny we are hoping as members, obviously we'll come to that when we get office bearers, but the biggest aim is to put the money back into the players' budget and give Callum the opportunity to get some of the players in that he would like to try and push forward for the club.
I had Callum on last night for an episode, and he was very, very supportive of the CISS and did push it on to try and to show that the money there would help him bring in that little bit of extra talent into the squad, and just give us that little bit of extra quality to really push on and make a mark in this league. Obviously, Graham and all the ambassadors have touched on it already, that with us dropping down, it is harder. We've watched also East Stirlingshire are kind of stuck in the mire without their own ground now, sharing at the Griegemann Stadium with Falkirk. Berwick Rangers, I think, are probably the storied one now, where they kind of gambled on a cup run and when they were knocked out, had had to shave a few faces off their squad. Is it would you say as ambassadors, it's very imperative and to try and get as many people in, and I'd like to put it to you is that for kind of, well, players that are kind of played for kind of Beef during the where there wasn't really any social media, but we did seem to have good travelling support with the likes of the Yule and the supporters club down there, the Dublin supporters club, Somerset. Also, we've got a lot of fans around the Nottingham area that come up for the big games as well. Do you feel that social media is probably the way forward to try and reconnect with these fan bases?
I think so. I think social media is it's really important. It's interesting what you said there about the examples of Berwick and East Stirling, etc. And Berwick in particular was... it's a really difficult example, and what I think Outmeath must do first and foremost is learn from what other people have done and make sure that the same mistakes aren't repeated, and I'm fairly certain that's not going to happen. It's also important, I think, as much as we don't want to be in the Lowland League and we want to be back in the SPFL, that we encourage as many people as possible from wherever they happen to be within the UK or the world, you know, through social media, to come and enjoy this team, to make a push back in the Lowland League and actually make, you know, have a team that the fans want to come and watch, get more people through the gate, more people signed up to the CISS, and hopefully at that point, you know, everything will come together and there'll be a push where there'll be opportunities to get back into League Two and back into the pyramid.
Yeah, just to build on that as well, I think it's important that you do need to start building something and keep with it for a sustained period as well. You can't just chop and change. I've been to quite a few games in the last couple of seasons in the Lowland, and there's some really good teams, and teams where you wouldn't have thought they would be up there as well. You know, I went to see Trinette against East Kilbride a few weeks ago in the Cup, and, you know, Trinette beat East Kilbride 7-0. So these guys are firing. And you think about some of the big clubs that are down there as well as some of the under-20 teams as well. So it's not going to be easy. So I think whatever happens is we need to keep faith in what we're doing and keep building. And you can see that that's happened with the new manager and last season, the improvement, some of the players that have come in. I read there's a new signing just now on the website as well. Greg Dinham's son, forget his name, Jack, I think it is coming on. So they're signing good players all the time. And I think it is that we have to believe that it's possible. And also I think we have to be realistic that it's going to be tough. You know, there'll be some down moments in that as well. But I think if we can get everybody united and keep driving it, we've done it before. But I think Cowden Beef deserves to be back in there. You know, everybody's mentioned it. It's not the same when you're looking for the results on a Saturday and you have to scroll down all at the bottom and you get past all the leagues and you see the low end. So, you know, I think be back to where we deserve to be, and wherever that is will be determined, you know, for the size of the club. But certainly it's not the Lowland League in my opinion.
As also players that didn't necessarily grow up within the Cowden Beef area and didn't really grow up with the team, was it a bit of a surprise to see how much of a wide scope in the support that we have? Also, we've got like the Corned Beefies in Dublin, the Yeovil Supporters Club that come up quite a fair bit. Obviously, we've got Tom that puts out his England flags of a game as well, and that. And also, it's seen as a bit of a cult club, Cowden Beef, because of the nickname, and obviously, Cowden Beef's quite a strange name itself.
Yeah, I think. I remember when I played, there was lots of different supporters clubs from lots of different parts of the country that came up. You know, even when you think of Ron Ferguson and where he lives, which is not round the corner, and what he's managed to do for the club. Another point when you mentioned the cult, I suppose, following, I don't know if you remember, some of you might, but that reached a peak, I think, in about the late 90s when, for some reason, Radio 1 decided to show an interest in Cowden Beef at that point. I don't know if any of you guys remember that, when they they held a penalty kick competition, which I think a few of the players went down for down at Upton Park. Lee Cuthbert, I remember, right. He went down and was involved in that, and they won that penalty kick competition, which meant that for that season, every week Zoe Ball on our show would be talking about Cowdenbeath. And I don't know whether anybody picked up on that at the time, but certainly it put us in the newspapers for a few weeks anyway. The link to Radio One and Zoe Ball, and I'm sure there would have been some people at that point further afield in Cowdenbeath have thought, well, that's going to be my team. I'm going to follow them. And that was well before social media. Mm-hmm. So social media is definitely something where if you can, you know, create something here, a wee buzz about Cowdenbeath, you can get, I think, plenty of people from whatever it happens to be in the country interested. And they will come and they'll become a part of it. So while it's great, you want the local community to rally behind Cowdenbeath, it can be as far afield as you want it to be with social media.
Yeah, I'm just thinking back that back in the early 90s, I can't remember any like Yeovil or guys like coming along to the game. I've got to be honest with you. So it must be, you know, later on towards the 2000s, maybe, I don't know. But social media, important nowadays, simple as that. But success breeds success, and people will turn up if the club on the pitch is successful. And that's maybe the starting point as well. As soon as people want to follow success. And so fingers crossed that will happen.
Mm. You had big time Saint and Greavesy coming for you though, Colin, when you were there with your fancy strip.
Well, that's right. I remember that. That's correct. Aye, that silly red one, wasn't it? That, oh my god, aye. Yeah, that was something else. Also, Eddie the Eagle as well. He came in.
Yeah.
He came in to interview us, aye, and because at the time that's when Cowdenbeath went for that unfortunate 36 game beaten run. It's when they went to the Championship, and that's when they sacked John Brownlee and they got rid of most of the experienced players. And he came in because he was a sort of guy who kind of struggled at his sport, and they were sort of trying to tie that up together. But we've had a good chat with the guy, and that's right, aye. Some boy he was.
Mm. I remember when we played, when Mixu was a manager, we had all the Scandinavian guys over, and they had their bell horns and stuff like that, and it just created a different atmosphere. But I think the big thing is for these guys as well, they can come along and get a good day out as well, you know, come over for the weekend, come and watch the football, probably stay to watch the stock cars as well, to be honest, but they can come over and enjoy it. And I think it was Colin who said you've got to make something enjoyable, you know, see a good team and see good football, and you can see that the team are trying to play football just now as well, and I think that's important as well. So yeah, I think giving people something to hold on to is really important as well. They're not going to come along if it's defeats and defeats all the time. So just going to be a bit more consistency, and I think we'll get more people to come.
Yep. I think that leads us on nicely to the also the big announcement was the Akibo, what I call it, a memorial game. It's a reunion game against Berwick on the 16th of March. Obviously, Berwick were, well, especially around your own time there, Innes, we're kind of the big rivals for Cowdenbeath.
Yeah.
The time, really tried to kind of push a bit of a derby on us.
Absolutely. I don't think we beat them the year that we won the league either, but we did win the league and go up. I don't think they did from memory, but I actually played for Berwick and had a good time playing there as well, so it'll be nice to go back as well because we've got fond memories there. And of course, we've got Liam and Dougie, who have no excuse for not coming to the reunion on the 16th now. Because they'll be there with Berwick as well. But it was a bit of a rivalry. And of course, for those who can remember, on the week after we won the league, the famous unveiling of the flag at Stenhouse Muir to say that Cowdenbeath were champions as well. So I'm sure they remember that as well as I do.
Obviously, probably one of the big games to really try and drive home. Is there something that you'd want to say to fans that have maybe fallen away over the last couple of years, especially, well, I'd say the last decade, it's been a very, very tough ask to follow Cowdenbeath. And we have seen a few absent faces from the terrace and the stands. Is there something that you'd want to say to any support that's fallen away from the our Hades?
So, certainly for the 16th, to get as many to come along as possible. And I think it was Bruni who mentioned that, you know, the big crowds that were there, you know, some of the local rivals against Raith Rovers and stuff like that. The crowd that came along the day that we won the league against Elgin was incredible. You know, there almost wasn't any empty spaces in the stadium. So I don't know if we can get to those heights again. Maybe it's not seen as someone as big as that. But the atmosphere that day is amazing. And, you know, something, played in big crowds before, but someone that will live long in our memory, because it was such an amazing thing. And, of course, it was helped with the helicopter and all the stuff that we went for, the trophy, et cetera, et cetera. But I think to galvanise and get as many people as we possibly can and get a full, or as full as we can, Central Park, and, you know, get some people singing. I seen the kids there a few weeks ago with the drums and all that stuff. I like all that stuff. And I think, you know, through this as well, I spoke to one of the guys when I was there a few weeks ago. We have to inspire the next generation of County Beath fans that are going to come through and make sure that they take care of the club going forward as well. You know, Gordon said there that he does things in match day voluntary. The amount of people that do volunteer at the club and keep it going is incredible. And we need to make sure that we, you know, secure that for the future.
Just you're thinking about that with the kids with their drumming, their singing, and that. So at the start of the season, I mind them singing "We Love You, Robbie." Obviously, Robbie McNabb, the captain now, that, and all through the early games, "We Love You, Robbie." We do, and it was nice to see that kind of new generation come through with a new hero, really, in that, because also I grew up kind of junior time. It was Marcus Patalainen for me, who's kind of also the. I don't think I've ever seen a player like that in my puppet kind of beef again, but okay, Marcus Patalainen and also Greg Stewart. So it's good to see that there is maybe sprouts of things changing for us now, and good to see young people getting back into the game and really starting to make that connection again with the club.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's easy for kids as well. I think about the things that we've got on our TV, whether it's Netflix, Prime, you know, and then all the football that's on the different channels as well. I mean, you can stay in on a Saturday now and watch two or three games without going out. So I think it's important to get people along. I still love going at 3 o'clock. You know, I still get that same buzz regardless of what game you go along to. And I think it's important to keep that tradition going as well. So, you know, I encourage everybody to come along, you know, old and young, as long as they're supporting Cowden Beath and going to make that noise. And I think it's maybe something that shouldn't just be a one-off as well. You know, I'd be happy to come along and do things. A few of the guys for the 2006 team are going to come as well. There's been some good chat in the WhatsApp group that we've made and some fantastic memories. Some I can't repeat on this, I have to add. But, you know, it's good. It'll be great to see old faces again. And, of course, the last couple of meetings we've had as well, I've known Graham for a wee while in Toure, but I've never met Colin before. But, you know, it'll be interesting to meet some of the players that played and the teams before as well. And then, you know, some of the other guys that you mentioned, Remy, I used to play with back in the day as well, and some of the other guys as well. And, you know, hopefully together we can do something that's powerful for the club.
Certainly, it's obviously talking to the support that are still around, and says that there is an excitement for this game. There are people that have also grown up with you and are really looking forward to seeing you again. And I know that Scotty Gallagher's really excited for yourself, Colin, and that, as he was saying to me on Saturday, that he's really looking forward to seeing those kind of, well, the faces that he grew up, the faces that he kind of idolised himself. And then, obviously, kind of my generation as well are kind of we're hoping for the players of our time to get there to really make that connection again with the club.
No, absolutely, and it's important. If you just thought about it, just imagine that every person who turns up just brings one extra person with them. Mm. It could be a cousin, it could be an aunt, it could be an uncle, it could be anything. Just bring that one extra person. You just never know. They just might enjoy it. But I'm looking forward to meeting Scotty as well. Yes, and I'm quite sure we'll share some stories. But I've had a fantastic response from the 1992 side. I'm not sure the exact numbers, but, you know, we're looking 14 to 16 players coming along. That's the plan just now anyway, and we'll see what happens. But I'm thoroughly looking forward to it, and it should be a good day. It should be a good day.
Well, I just like to say, well, I think we've covered everything that we want to speak, but I just want to say also thank you very much for giving out your time tonight, but also giving your time to the club itself and the CISS. I think everybody can see that there is a bit of a winds of change kind of time, and certainly on the part of this season, maybe the results haven't been there, but the performances have certainly improved from the last couple of years, and I think there is time to hope for a revival of the club.
For sure.
Absolutely.
I think so.
Well, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. And as the ambassadors have said, if you can make it, come along to the 16th, really get behind the club. And if you can, put your name towards the CISS and really help the club just grow again and try and push to get back into the SPFL. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you.
Thank you.